رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters and welcome back to Ramadan Nights live from البيان راديو studios. I'm your host Abu Abd Rahman for another edition, another program of Ramadan Nights live on البيان راديو on this 23rd night of Ramadan, 1445 after the blessed hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, I am pleased and happy to be joined by my dear beloved brother, the Sheikh Muhammad Dua. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Good to see you once again.
Allah ybarik fiik, Sheikh. Always the pleasure.
Pleasure's all ours, as always. And as we mentioned, Sheikh, the 23rd of Ramadan, an odd night in the last 10 nights. What does that signify?
Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bi huda amma ba'd. Allah ybarik fiik, Sheikh, for the reminder. 23rd night of Ramadan, an odd night. Without a doubt, is from the most important nights of Ramadan, as we know that Laylatul Qadr, it usually falls on a odd night within the last 10 nights. It is likely possible that the Laylatul Qadr can fall on tonight. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and as Allah azza wa jal taught us, that that night is greater than 1,000 months. But there's no doubt that every Muslim should be taking advantage of the odd night in the last 10 nights in hope that they meet Laylatul Qadr and achieve that great reward.
Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah to allow us to reach it and benefit from it. And don't forget, my dear brothers and sisters, as we mentioned many times, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his beloved wife Aisha, that if she catches this night, she should say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are pardoning, you love to pardon or forgive, so pardon me or forgive me. So keep this upon your tongue, my dear brothers and sisters. Sheikh, back with the sirat. We spoke about the sirat in our last meeting. Can we have a quick recap and we'll get into some new points regarding the sirat, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.
Naam, regarding the sirat, Sheikh, we mentioned that it is one of the stations of the next life, and we mentioned that the next life is one of the pillars of Iman. So every station that is mentioned about the next life is from the Iman in the next life. So it is obligatory on us as Muslims to believe in everything that Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned regarding the next life. And these stations are placed as a test, and as we know, the Sirat is a bridge which is over hellfire, and it is considered to be the final station before entering paradise, inshallah. And we spoke about the attributes of the Sirat. We mentioned things like it is unstable on the feet or slippery. We mentioned that it is, as the Sunnah has taught us, it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. It has hooks on its sides. And it is these hooks are designed to drag into hellfire whoever Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded. We also mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal, He places the Rahim and the Amana on the sides of the Sirat in order for them to testify for or against the person that upheld them.
Excellent. Barakallahu fiqh, the Shaykh. Now, what are we going to begin with today regarding the Sirat?
Today, the first thing we begin with, Shaykh, is the first to cross the Sirat. And this has been mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Sirat will be placed over hellfire, and I, along with my ummah, will be the first to cross it." And this is an honor and a blessing for this nation, that Allah Azza wa Jal loves this nation dearly, and it is the greatest of nations without a doubt, because it is the nation of the greatest of prophets, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah honors them with being the first to cross it.
Excellent, now, Sheikh. What do we have next, Sheikh?
The next point, Sheikh, is regarding the Sirat. One thing we have to understand is that the Sirat is dark. And in order to be able to cross this Sirat, which has a raging fire beneath it, the person requires a light. A person needs a light in order to be able to cross over a Sirat. As we mentioned, it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. So there's no doubt that us as Muslims, we have to build that light and strengthen that light which stems from Iman in order for us to be able to cross. And if we wanted to understand the different types of people regarding their light and the sirat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, each person from the believers and the hypocrites also will be given a light which they will follow over the sirat. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives everyone at the sirat, both the believers and the hypocrites, He gives them light in order for them to cross over the sirat. This sirat which has hooks on its sides, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then the light of the hypocrites turns off as they are on the bridge, and the believers are saved. The first group who cross the sirat, their faces will be like the full moon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. This is a punishment for the hypocrites, Shaykh, where Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives them a light, but then that light turns off and they're not able to cross the sirat with that light. And many of the scholars have based this particular position on the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says about the hypocrites, يُخَادِعُونَ they deceive, they think they deceive Allah, but Allah is the one who deceives them.
وَيَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ
نعم. نعم. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ the munafiqin up until the sirat, they think they're getting away with it, as though Allah does not know what they were in this dunya, as major hypocrites who concealed the kufr in their hearts. But then at that time, the sirat is where they will be exposed to the greatest point. And that's when they will be dragged into hellfire. And the light, Shaykh, is in accordance to our a'mal. The greater your iman, the greater the deeds, the greater the light. The less the iman, the less good work a person done in this dunya, the smaller the light. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be given their light in accordance to their a'mal. Everyone is given their light according to their actions. He said some will be given their light like a mountain, like Allahu Akbar, like high beams. Yeah, they'll be given their light like a mountain, and some even more than a mountain, he said. And some will be given their light, he said, like a palm tree. He said, and the last person will be given his light on his big toe. Subhanallah, because his actions were small. So his light is on his big toe. The Prophet ﷺ even said, it turns on sometimes and it turns off sometimes. It flickers. He said, when it turns on, he's able to move. And when it turns off, he stands. So this is all based on the actions. For some people, because the iman was so great, their light over the sirat is like a mountain. And others, because their actions, even they're believers, they're Muslims, but their actions were minimal, so their light becomes minimal to the extent it's just on their toe that they walk on. And it turns on sometimes and it turns off sometimes, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us.
Sheikh, this should really motivate us that every deed matters and every deed will help and count on the Day of Judgment.
Without a doubt, Sheikh. And we know the other hadiths that talk about the light in the Akhirah, like the action of wudu, which the Muslim takes so lightly and for granted, it becomes such a habit that you're making wudu every day and we're forgetting the reward. The Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah will be sent on the Day of Judgment, muhajjalin, meaning with light coming out of areas on their body, beams, from the forehead, beams. Subhanallah, the forehead, the hands. And this light comes from the places of wudu. This is something we should always try to remember when we do the action of wudu, that we are strengthening, inshallah, our light in the akhirah, which helps us in passing the sirat.
And we should also, work on these deeds and make them in the best manner that we can. Make them deeds of quality. So deeds based upon sound intention and sincerity for Allah, and deeds in accordance with the Kitab and Sunnah, in confirming or conforming with what the Prophet ﷺ came with.
Salam, without a doubt, Shaykh. And that's the most important thing about our a'mal, that they are correct and sincere in order for Allah to accept them. If an action is not correct, meaning it's not according to the Sunnah, or if it's not sincere, Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept it.
Shaykh, in the previous point, you mentioned how this ummah will be the first to cross the bridge. It reminds me of a series that you done previously on Al-Bayan, things exclusive for this ummah. Is this one of the things which is exclusive for this ummah, that they have to be the first to cross the sirat?
Definitely. The first to be resurrected and the first to cross the sirat also is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first to enter paradise, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And that makes sense. If they're the first to cross the sirat, they're going to be the first to enter Jannah as well.
Yes.
And the doors of paradise do not open except for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And my dear brothers and sisters, that's a very beneficial series you can find on our YouTube channel, Al Bayan Radio Australia. So please, if it will be there, or maybe put it in the link, I'll put a link in for it for those who'd like to watch. I think it was a few parts, wasn't it, Sheikh? You mentioned.
I think it was a couple of parts.
Maybe our tech team can link it in the description. Things exclusive to this ummah. It might have been last Ramadan. Allahu alam. We're getting on. We're forgetting what we done yesterday, let alone a few years ago. Things exclusive to this ummah. We'll put it in the link and watch it. It's very, very beneficial. What do we have next, Sheikh?
The next point, Sheikh, regarding the sirat, we spoke about how people have light and their light differs regarding the sirat. The next point is regarding the speed in crossing the sirat. And the speed, just like the light, also differs. Some people cross the sirat quicker than others, based on the iman. The greater the iman, the greater your worship in this world, the quicker you're able to cross the sirat. The weaker the iman, the slower the person takes to cross the sirat. And some people will cross the sirat, as it was mentioned in the sunnah, like the blink of an eye, Sheikh. That's subhanallah, something it's hard to comprehend. How quick is a blink? It's a blink.
It's a blink.
And the person has passed the sirat. And some cross it like lightning, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And some will cross it like wind. And some will cross like the quickest horse. And some like birds. And some like the quickest camel. Some will cross the sirat running. And some will cross it walking. Some will cross crawling, and subhanallah, some will be dragged, and the last to cross the sirat is a man who is dragged on his stomach. And he actually says, as mentioned in the hadith, "Oh Allah, why have you made me slow?" So Allah Azza wa Jalla replies, "It's not me that made you slow, but rather it's your deeds." Subhanallah. In the next life, these stations, Sheikh, as we know, it's our actions, it's our iman, it's our deeds that get us to the finish line, as they say. So you can be the quickest marathon runner in the dunya, but without iman, a person will not be able to cross the sirat, especially not be able to cross it in a fast way. And in another narration of this hadith, it says the last man to enter paradise is one who walks on the sirat and falls down. Then he gets up and walks and he falls down again until he crosses it. He then turns and faces the sirat and he says, "Glory be to Allah who saved me from you."
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah, he actually says that looking at the sirat. By Allah, nobody from the first to the last has been given what I have been given. He thinks he's the last man to enter Jannah. And he's actually dragged across the sirat. And after being dragged and passing hellfire, he believes that he's been given the greatest reward.
Oh my God.
So how severe is that day? And how much fear does the person have over the sirat, knowing that the hellfire is there ready to take him? Or those hooks ready to take him in. There's no doubt that these are days which require us to prepare for, inshallah.
Sheikh, once again, these points reiterate and re-emphasize the importance of actions. That it's not only claims and statements, it is your actions. This is iman. Iman is made up of actions and sayings and beliefs.
No.
And that iman, the proof for it, is your actions.
No.
And iman, how would we know on the Day of Judgment? When Allah weighs our deeds. weighs our actions. And this is, you know, today we see, sadly, you know, the claims that, you know, I believe, my heart is sound, and you see no actions. This is really hypocritical or contradictory, because if your iman is sound, then there's actions that will be produced by Allah Ta'ala.
Without a doubt, Sheikh. Iman consists of all three: the belief in the heart, the sayings of the tongue, and the actions of the limbs. If we do not fulfill all three conditions, then we do not have iman. And without iman, we are not going to be able to be saved on that day from these tormentful stations that await.
Sheikh, anything else about the Sirat tonight?
The last thing, Sheikh, regarding the Sirat that we have, is the fact that after the people are destined to paradise and hellfire, we know in the Sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then bring death in the form of a sheep, and He slaughters it. He orders for it to be sacrificed so that there is no more death. And it's either eternal paradise or eternal hellfire for mankind. And the sacrifice of the sheep takes place on the Sirat, as the Sunnah has taught us.
So this moment, as the other reports mentioned, the Sheikh, that this will be a moment of great despair for the people who are destined or damned for hell. That's it, you're done.
For eternity.
Allahu Akbar.
This is something that a person cannot comprehend, an eternal punishment, subhanAllah, and of the opposite, an eternal bliss and reward. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just. He does not punish except out of justice, and He does not reward except out of His mercy and grace. And anyone that is destined for hellfire can only blame themselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind and He gave them free will to choose their path. And the path that we choose is what will determine our final destination. For from mankind will be those who succeed and worship Allah and enter Jannah, and from them are those who reject and refuse to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore they are doomed to hellfire for eternity.
Sheikh, just a quick question before we wrap up. When this ram or sheep is slaughtered, signifying death, does that mean that all the believers who may have entered hellfire, as some of the hadith mention, would have been taken out of hellfire and put into Jannah?
Yes. From what we know is that the sacrifice of death in the form of a ram takes place after the muwahideen that are in hellfire exit hellfire and they enter paradise. So then a call is made. Once everyone who is destined for Jannah is in Jannah, and everyone who is destined to hellfire for eternity is in hellfire, the call is made to sacrifice the ram, and then it takes place.
Allahu Akbar. So this, my dear brothers, should motivate us as well not to be from those muwahideen who may suffer some punishment in hell, because as the hadiths are clear regarding it, some muwahideen, some Muslims will be punished.
Naam. And the greatest deception that shaitan can deceive a Muslim with is, I'll get punished for a short period of time and then I'll enter paradise. If we understood what punishment Allah has prepared in the next life, we will strive to the greatest of our ability to not enter it at all, not even to come close to it, Sheikh.
Barakallah fiqh, the Sheikh. We ask Allah to protect us and protect Allah, our brothers and sisters. Now, the Sheikh, how was your coffee tonight?
Allahi barik fiqh, Sheikh.
Asking our guests how they found the coffee.
It's actually been very nice. Allahumma barik. May Allah reward the tech team
We've got the tech team and working in this spare time making
coffees as well.
You
know, subhanAllah, I didn't even tell him how I like my coffee, but he's hit the nail on the head. Allahumma barik.
Yeah, well, since the brothers from the Pachi gave us this machine for the rest of Ramadan and the coffee and even the cups, the tech team have been going all out. Mashallah. And they've got a bit of a secret, coffee room here on the premises here of Masjid Al-Azhar, Belmore. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Might get orders from tomorrow night. Tech team. So it's a full-on coffee setup, and Allahumma barik, he's acing it.
Allahumma barik.
Yeah, so we might not find him next year. He might have his own coffee shop in Ramadan. And the tech man down.
MashaAllah.
Allah bless him and his family and all those brothers and sisters who tuned in tonight. We'd like to thank the Sheikh for being with us. And inshaAllah, he'll be with us a few more times during Ramadan and after Ramadan, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I'd like to thank you, all the brothers and sisters. And until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.